Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question that I'd love for you to answer if you'd like. How would you describe your relationship with money? I mean, if you had two words to describe your relationship with money, what would they be? Can you text me 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Maybe you'd say stressed or blessed. Maybe you'd say fearful, or maybe you say joyful. And maybe you've heard me tell this story before on a past fundraiser, and it's not a fundraising day, just hang with me here, but I've told this story during our fundraisers. But I remember a time when my boys were little, three little boys, we had more medical debt because of me and my Lyme disease battle than we had income. And we had so many medical bills, we could line three walls in this one room on this ledge, you know, and we paid every medical debtor $5 a month because we just had nothing else. We just paid a little bit to everybody. I remember sitting in a packed waiting room at the doctor's office because one of my kids, I think, had an ear infection or something. And I'm just waiting, and it's just busy in there. I'm trying to keep my three boys near me. Suddenly, the receptionist yells out across the room, Mrs. Larson. I stand up and said, yeah, that's me. And she, in a very irritated voice, says, we can't see your son today. We need a little more than $5 a month on your account. Everybody looked at me. I was absolutely mortified. I went outside with my little boys, put them in their car seats, got behind the wheel, grabbed the wheel, and put my head down and just cried my eyes out. And, you know, I'll tell you, back then, conversations around finances sparked fear in me. But as you know, if you've heard our story, we've come a long way from those days, and we've learned a lot about how to steward the resources God entrusts to us. Well, today we're going to try to take some of the fear and the stress out of your relationship with money. God cares deeply about this part of your story. That's why I'm so excited, and maybe you've been already getting the drift here, that we've been having Bob and Linda Loddick on the show every month to talk about our relationship to money. The title of their amazing book is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And for those who maybe have missed previous conversations with the Loddicks, by his 20s, Bob was overwhelmed by debt, stranded 1,000 miles from home, had $7 to his name. After crying out to God for wisdom, he discovered a biblically inspired formula that helped him reach a level of financial freedom he never dreamed possible. Through his simple methods within this formula, Bob paid off his house by age 31. Listen to this, even reached a personal goal of giving away $1 million by age 40. And they're just an amazing couple. They've got a blog and a podcast, and it's such a fun thing to have them on once a month. Let me give you a quick announcement. We'll get them on the show. The Thief on the Cross had a violent life, no chance of getting into heaven. But by the grace of God, he was saved. He literally had breakfast with the devil and supper with the Savior. Heaven, How I Got Here is a two-hour special from Pastor Colin Smith, his Open the Bible program. It's starring Stephen Baldwin. You can listen this Saturday morning and receive a fresh understanding of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So be sure, tune in this Saturday morning on Faith Radio. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. I'm watching the text come in. Two people already have said they had the two words they would use to describe their relationship with money is love-hate, love-hate. Another one said not good. All right. For the last 14 years, award-winning blogger, podcaster Bob Loddick has been a trusted voice for Christians wanting to find financial freedom the way God intended. He's shared timeless wisdom and practical strategies with more than 50 million readers, listeners, and students through his Seed Time blog, online courses, and Seed Time Money podcast. Bob lives in Franklin, Tennessee with his wife, Linda, and their three children. You can visit him at seedtime.com. Linda Loddick is co-founder of Seed Time and co-host of the Seed Time Money podcast. She's a fireball who helps you see things from a spouse's perspective, keeps all the money talk light and fun. That is true. I love her. Bob and Linda, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Suzy, we are glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Looking forward to our conversation. And you know this, we start every day with the same question, and it really is more on a personal nature. Just what has the Lord been speaking to you about? And Linda, I'd start with you. What's God been talking about these days?
Yeah, right now I am studying a lot about rest. And I was just looking the other day about when Jesus rested. You know, they look around, the disciples would be like, where the heck did Jesus go? Nobody can find him. And I love that we can even see that our greatest example in the Bible took time to take true rest, which is with the Father. So that's what he's been talking to me about a lot lately.
Mm, so good. How about you, Bob?
Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. It's a verse I've known for a long, long time. Just as the Lord does, just continues to kind of help you understand it to depths of your soul in a different way. And I just feel like he's doing that and just kind of revealing some things to me personally through that a little bit lately.
Mm, I love that. That's why we ask the question. It really brings the word to life, and it's just amazing as we linger with God. He'll highlight something that you need to know for the next phase of your journey. So, and I think as God shows you, he's maybe showing someone else who's listening today. So thanks for that, you guys. So what advice, and I'd love this from both of you, what advice do you have for the person listening who feels only fear and stress when they think about money? And Bob, we'll start with you.
Only fear and stress. We've been there. And Susie, you sharing your story, I appreciate you sharing that. I didn't know that. And that's something that I think a lot of us can relate to if we're honest, because everybody tries to make it seem like they have everything together on Instagram. But the reality is, I think a lot of us have been in those moments. And I think that is helpful to know, that even all the people on Instagram who make you feel like they got it all together, like I think most people don't. And in my journey with God, and I think anyone's journey with God, as you go walk with him, there's a comfort in that ultimately, because for a while you feel like, well, I have to have it all together. I'm an adult now. I got to have all my money stuff together. And you feel bad about that. But there comes a point where in your relationship with Jesus, where it's almost comforting, where you can let go and you can trust that he is provider, that he is the one who's going to take care of you. And so that's what I would encourage anyone. And again, I'd speak to myself when I was in that season years ago. That's what I would want to hear. And that's what I would want, to get a hold of at that point.
It's really what you did, Bob. Yeah. You know, you found yourself at rock bottom and you cried out to God, and then he gave you kind of a path forward. And with all of us, he usually gives us the next few steps, but he doesn't lay out the whole map. But if we trust him and we stick with it, he leads us into a place that's so different than we find ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we've seen time and time again, personally in our personal lives, as well as with our students. Like we hear that over and over again. Like when you're in this place of utter confusion, don't know what to do, don't know how to move forward, it starts with crying out to God, asking for wisdom. And then the second piece that I think so many Christians miss is obeying. And obeying the things that seem unrelated, that seem like, well, there's no way that that's ever going to be the thing, you know? And it's like so often that is the thing that God uses, you know, the loaves and fishes. It's like, there's no way that this little boy's food is going to be the thing that solves this problem. Let's be real here. That's never going to be it. And it's like, that's what Jesus wants to use. So what is that thing that he's asking you to do that seems completely unrelated that might just love be it. The pathway that he uses to bring that breakthrough for you?
And, you know, I just got to say before we go to Linda, again, some friends who've listened know this part of our story, but my husband was working three jobs. We were paying our bills. Like, we weren't vacationing or charging things, or we were fighting an illness and three little boys. But the seemingly unrelated thing, which it absolutely wasn't, is we'd become hit and miss tithers because of fear, and we had no money. Mm. And when the Lord pressed that and said, you know, I want you to bring this to me, bring in the tithe and the offerings. And we're like, we got a box and a half of cereal. And he's like, your neighbor has no cereal, and there will always be someone who has less than you. And you must never think, just because you're walking through a hard time, that you're absolved from being a flow-through account of my blessings. So we got on our knees and repented and started to bring in the tithe. And our little offerings were so – someone could have laughed at them. They were coins.
Yeah.
But that's when – Bob, we entered into a supernatural proposition, and I don't mean to make it sound any other way, but I am telling you what, our cereal lasted longer. There would be times Kev would slip at the table and all of our bills would be laid out. He's like, I didn't get a raise. Nobody sent us any money, but I got enough money to pay all of our bills. I don't get it. I can't even explain it. But that's when things really, really turn for us. So any comments, and then I'll go to Linda.
Yeah, no, we saw that. We've seen that so many times. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Linda is better at commenting on that than I am. But we've watched God do that in tight seasons where it's like the numbers don't make sense. It doesn't, like, there shouldn't be any more money in the bank. Like, I'm on top of stuff. Like, and yet there is. And it's like, it's just, he just does that stuff. I'm convinced
Amazing.
Of it.
Yeah. What would you say, Linda?
Yeah. So one scripture that comes to mind is enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Because when we are looking at any type of complicated problem, but we can talk specifically about finances, I think this just adds a little bit more color to what Bob was saying, but there are things that we miss. And I actually believe that God is very simple in what he does for us. He makes it easy enough for a child to understand. I think humans are the ones that complicate everything. Mm-hmm. So when we are going into a problem feeling like, this is too big for me, I don't know how to get out of it, we can rely on the simplicity of God to enlighten the eyes of our understanding to things that we have not seen before. And oftentimes, in that little slice of obedience, it might have to do with tithing. It honestly might have to do with someone else or something else. My friend I was just talking to, she told me that her and her husband were working to pay off medical debt. Again, it was the same type of thing. And she said, we felt like the Lord was calling us to full-time missionary work. And so we just said, okay. And as soon as they did, within just a few days, all of their medical debt got paid off. Wow. And she said it was something they had been working towards and praying towards for so long. But as soon as they took that step of faith in obedience, they saw something that they didn't know how it was ever going to be taken care of, much less in the time that it was. So I think opening yourself up to more than just, is there a financial piece that I'm missing? And bigger than that is, God, what am I missing in you? Where do you want to take me in this problem? And just being obedient in that, even if it feels completely unrelated.
I love, love, love this. Friends, I hope you're hearing this. If you're in a place of the love-hate relationship or just complete stress or fear, I hope you heard what they just said. First, get on your knees, humbly cry out to God. And then secondly, do the thing he tells you to, even if it seems unrelated. And Linda, I've got a friend, her and her hubby bought a fixer-upper, and they turned it into just a beautiful home. She's in ministry. He's this amazing teacher, coach. They work with youth. They're just mission-minded people. But it just, because of all the supply chain, everything costs more than they expected. And so they were at this tipping point of, do we stay in this house, and then do I need to step aside and get a job and leave this mission that I feel God's called me to, or do we put it on the altar? And they put it on the altar, and they were flooded with peace. Even though they put blood, sweat, and tears into this house, they just felt like, God must have something else. As soon as they did, peace came, and then the doors flew open for coaching jobs, ministry opportunities. And they're like, I can't explain it. All we knew was that his next step was, can you trust me with this? So wow. I can't even tell you how much I love that. Thank you, thank you. Nancy, you asked for a scripture reference of what Linda was talking about, and my amazing producer, Angela, pulled it up, Ephesians 1:18. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I feel like this was enough for admission right here, is cry out to God and obey him in the next thing he asks you to do, even if it seems unrelated. When we come back from the break, you two, I would love for you to talk about, Jerry talked about, he said, he just feels blessed. He feels like God has redeemed so much. He's feeling generous and growing in his generosity. But he says his dear wife is beginning now just to be delivered from that fear of lack. And a number of others have talked about that. And sometimes, like, especially older friends who've gone through the Great Depression, or maybe they were deeply impacted by 2008 or whatever. When you have a past trauma and you're really not in trouble anymore, but you're living in a scarcity mindset, what do you do about that? I would just love your thoughts on how to break out of a scarcity mindset. That's so different than stewardship, true stewardship. Maybe I'll have you do that, make the distinction between those two. Talking to Bob and Linda Loddick, we're really trying to take fear and stress out of money, out of finances, out of that conversation, and invite God to be Lord in this area so you can start to see him move in ways you never thought he would. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to Him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly, my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love Him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only He can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We've got our friends Linda and Bob Lotica on. They join us once a month to talk about finances. You know how we have Dr. Troy on once a month to talk about health and the healing process? We wanted to get these two on to talk about our relationship with money. And we need to do that because Christians need a lot of healing, a lot of wise counsel. And my hope and prayer, just as you've kind of caught the vision for every step towards healing matters in your body, like stewarding your health and your diet, exercise, stewarding your stress and your mindset. I really think a lot of you have caught the vision after all these years of having Dr. Troy on. I want you to also catch the vision of what is possible in your finances, that you don't always have to play not to lose, you know, always have to live in reaction to all the stuff coming your way, that there is a way to steward your finances and to call and invite God into them. And watch the enemy's plan against you fall apart and watch you move into a place where you're not just surviving, but you're thriving. We've got a handful of copies of their amazing book. Bob's book is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And I love their perspective. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Bob and Linda, I'd love for you both to answer this question. Bob, we'll start with you. I'd love for you to make a distinction between a scarcity mindset and wise stewardship.
Yeah, so we were just talking about this over the break, and I was just thinking through this, and it reminds me of the parable of the talents. And so you have these three servants who have been handed a specific amount of money with the expectation, do something with this. And in the way I read it, like I believe there was something different about the first two servants who multiplied what they were entrusted with. There was something different about what they believed of the master than the third one, because the third one went and buried what he was entrusted with. And so that to me is a scarcity mindset, and it's not understanding, you know, because if you're not a believer, like this is a different story, but if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus and you're a child of the King, a scarcity mindset is completely from the enemy. This is not how we should be living or operating, because we are children of the King, and therefore we should be seeing it differently. Now, I grew up with a scarcity mindset, and I had overcome that. This isn't necessarily something you flip a switch and change, but at the end of the day, that's a big part of it. Like, that's what I see, is that servant, that third servant, like he was burying that out of fear, because he didn't know what was going to happen with his master, and he didn't understand his master's care for him, you know, whereas the other two were willing to steward what they had and you know, had been entrusted to them, and to steward that well and to multiply that. And I think it says something about what they saw about their master.
Boy, it's so good. What do you say, Linda?
Yeah, so the first thing that came to mind for me is that a scarcity mindset leads more with fear, and a stewardship mindset leads more with faith, like you're having faith in God. Because if you think about the way the Lord views us, He is judging our hearts instead of our actions as much. So if we make a mistake and think, oh man, I thought I was doing the right thing and I really missed it, when he can see our hearts. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how he judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so when we are doing it with the right heart, he will know. But what's so great about this is that the way he judges is through his word, which means we can judge ourselves through the word. So if you are married to someone who is not quite as caught up as you, what you can do is just present the word to them. That is what changes us anyway. So I know that Bob kind of progressed quicker than me in this area, and even still challenges me a lot in things that he's in faith for and I'm not, right? Mm. But he can come to me and say, this is what the Lord is teaching me in his word, and just allow that to permeate my soul. And that is what ultimately brings the change.
Hmm. Bob, you gave $1 million away by age 40. I want to know, because, you know, friends, if you want to hear their backstory, go listen to past shows we've done together. But you were at a point where you were in debt as a young man, and you cried out to God, and he gave you some direction, and you started to implement giving as part of your financial, you know, disciplines. I want to know just, and Linda, you've even talked about this in the book too, where you both started to see God move in just seemingly unrelated ways, but you did start to see him move in really powerful ways. So I want to know just that tipping point for you. You did it out of obedience because you felt like God was asking you to, and we don't give to get. We always say that. You get to give, but there's something about God that he won't be outdone. And when you adopt a generous life, you experience something of God that those who are being operating in fear just never do. So maybe just speak to that if you would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm thinking about this in terms of my kids, you know, and I'm a parent, I'm a father, Linda's a mother, and, you know, we have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old right now. And, you know, we're trying to get them to do chores and all this stuff. And, you know, every once in a while, we'll see one of our kids, he'll just run out and be like, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do this. And like, basically, take a ton of initiative and do stuff we didn't even ask. And it's like, the joy in my heart of seeing that happen just gets me to this place where it's like, I want to reward that, you know? And so back to this give to get thing, like, I think there's just something beautiful about our Father that when he sees us, you know, like the first verse I mentioned, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, seek first that, and then the other things will be added. It's like, that's the problem. When you do it in the wrong order, things just get turned around with it. But anyway, I just found myself in a place where I lost your original question, Susie.
there was not one wasted word there, Bob. Just about the tipping point for you that you started to give as a young man, and then you formed a goal that most never would even dream of. But how did things shift for you? Suddenly you realize, you know, Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I mean, he does say, you know, to sow into the kingdom. I'm just wondering, like, when did you gain momentum to the point where you thought, I can trust God to take care of me? I'm going to take care of the kingdom. I'm going to trust him to take care of me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long, slow, like, I don't know if I would say there's a tipping point, because there were so many little pieces of obedience from, I mean, I remember being in a little church and giving, I think it was $10 or $15 or something, but it was all I had at that particular moment. And I was young, I was in my early 20s or whatever. And it's like, I still remember that moment because it felt so sacrificial, because it felt like so much. And then there's the moment where it's like, you know, we have so many stories like these where long story short, we calculated our tithe amount and realized we're actually only given like 8.5% or something like that, because a couple of raises had happened or something. We just never adjusted. And we're like, all right, well, let's get that up to 10%. And in doing so, we realized, well, if we do that, we're not going to be able to buy groceries. So like, so how what do we do in this situation? Like, do we use the math and trust that, or do we trust God? And we decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and do this. Like, let's see if God holds up to his word, you know? And like he talks about in Malachi, he's like, test us. The one area in the Bible where it says we can test him. So we did. And literally the next day, I walk into my office and my boss says, hey, calls me in. And she says, close the door. I'm not giving a raise to anyone else because we're not supposed to do raises right now. But I want to give you a raise. And then I walk out of there. She tells me how much it is. And it's exactly the amount we need to cover that extra amount. And so there's been a series of those things, one after another. And each one of them You know, of course, faith comes by hearing the word, but there's also something that comes from experiencing God's faithfulness time mm-hmm. After time again that, I don't know. It makes it a little bit easier and still challenging with some of the bigger things he's asked us to do. But man, it's when you see his faithfulness so much, it just changes your perspective.
Boy, Linda, I think you and I are a lot alike in that we are spenders and givers and have a lot of faith for that. And it might be harder to do other things, but still, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, and we'll talk about a survival budget after the break, where if there's suddenly a shift and you've got to make shifts, you know, we probably would feel that a little bit sooner. But I would still would love for you to talk about just what you've learned about God as you've learned to just trust him with generosity.
Yes. You know, I think one thing that gets really overlooked, this is one of those things that seems small, but it's actually huge, is that God gives himself the name of provider. That's not his only name, but that is one of his names. And I think it's so easy to forget that he is our provider. And so when we're looking at generosity, what happens is it's easy to get a little bit stingy of like, I need to save this for myself, or you know, think more honestly in a scarcity mindset of even if it's like, well, if I give that present to this person, then I won't be able to give to this person. And God is just not limited the way we are. And so if we have seen him do any kind of miracles, which we have, where it's like, I don't know why there's money in our bank account that shouldn't be there, then we can realize that since his resources are unlimited and he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, we can open ourselves up to being more generous because we, even though we are limited and we have a job to do with our stewardship, we can also let go and realize that God will take care of the things that we're not thinking of. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
totally. Totally. You know, we've got a few minutes before break, and so we can start this conversation. If we need to pick it up on the other side, let's do it. Because I want to talk, someone texted in about the tithe, and I'm sure you've heard it all. I have heard a lot of debate on it's an Old Testament concept. But then again, I look at Jesus, you know, you've heard it said, but I say, it seems he always raises the standard, but then, you know, he equips us with grace. And honestly, when I've heard people argue that it's an Old Testament concept and nobody in, you know, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, is required to do that or needs to do that, that grieves my spirit. I mean, I guess it's for each of us to sort through, but I'd still love your guys' input on that one, because again, I know we may ruffle feathers, and I don't mean to do that, but I think it's an important conversation. What do you say? Bob, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So I'm with you, Susie. I've been talking about money to Christians for 15 years. I've heard a lot. I've read a lot. I've studied a lot about all this. And yeah, it's like, and I can agree, like, yes, this is not an Old Testament law that, like, you know, we're living under a new covenant. We're on the same page there. But when I look at, you know, this new covenant that we're under, to me, it feels like the most God-honoring thing for us to do is to move forward in generosity and not backwards. Mm-hmm. And
I like that.
And that's just what I feel like the Lord has just continued to press upon me, you know. And so 2 Corinthians 9, I think, is the chapter for us as New Testament believers to really be focusing on with our giving. I think that's a chapter that anyone curious about what it looks like to give in the New Testament should be studying. And so it's just one of those things I would say from experience, and I can also speak from the vantage point of, again, having many thousands of students who are Christians trying to do this right, hearing countless testimonies about tithing. Like, it's just one of those things that, like, I believe that there is fruit attached to following that principle, even though it's not required anymore, that I would just encourage anybody to try it still, like, you know, and so I understand, like, the debate of it's just not talked about in the New Testament nearly as much as the Old Testament. Like, that's all fine. But I would just encourage anyone to jump and try that and try it, you know, with a good heart, not in a, you know, manipulative heart. But I've just seen too much, you know, anybody who's had my vantage point to be able to see the number of testimonies that I've seen over and over and over again. It's hard to just be like, yeah, don't even worry about it. Like, you know, so anyway, those are my two cents on it, I guess.
Yeah. Appreciate that. What about you, Linda?
Yeah, I go back to some of the Old Testament laws. Like, we can look at the Ten Commandments, for example, and see how, I mean, you already said it. It's like we have an invitation to progress in this. So the Old Testament law, do not murder. Okay, well, great. So that doesn't mean we're going to heaven if we don't murder. Like, mm-hmm. the Lord invites mm-hmm. us to take it a step further and to love our enemies and to pray for our enemies, and that they will know us. The world will know us by our love. So it's much more than just don't murder. It is now love your enemies and love everyone and pray for them and desire to see good for them. I see this the same way. I see it like, yes, there was a law in the Old Testament, and now we are invited to take it 100 steps farther, honestly, to infinity, because God is boundless. And so how much farther can we press this and see what he will do with that?
So good. My sister texted in and said, if we didn't tithe, how would churches and ministries sustain themselves? And I mean, those are the bride of Christ. Shouldn't we be taken care of her as the body of Christ in the church, you know?
Absolutely.
And and so you're not hearing shame, condemnation from us, friends. And I'm just thinking of the person maybe who stumbled upon the dial. You're not a believer. And the big accusation against Christians always talking about money, that's just not true. Maybe you might stumble upon a preacher, or maybe there are preachers who that's all they talk about, and they will have to give an account someday. But as you often hear me say, it's not something I want from you. It's what I want for you, because we were broken financially. And when we started to apply ourselves to biblical principles, because we so deeply wanted to be in step with the Lord, we literally saw the enemy's plan for our finances fall apart. And the very area where there was thorns and thickets, we now, as a core value in our merit, generosity is just at the center of it. And we're having a blast because we're trusting God more than we're trusting ourselves. So friends, I pray you hear this not as an obligation, but as a holy invitation. You know, what if God wants to show you something of his provision and an adventure of faith if you dare to trust him? That's what we're asking. And the reason this conversation is important is because I think the stats are still something like 93% of Christians don't give anything. No shame, no condemnation, but I'm just asking, would you humbly ask the Lord, is that fear? Is that control? Is that scarcity, Lord? And maybe open your hands and just start small. Start sowing a few seeds. And as we go to break, if I remember right, in 2 Corinthians 9, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way. Why? So you can be generous on every occasion. And what's the result? Other people praising God because you trusted God. That's a pretty amazing, amazing picture. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friends Bob and Linda Loddick. They joined us once a month to talk about just growing a healthy relationship with your finances. Kind of like Dr. Troy with Health and Healing. This is about health and healing in your financial story and just really changing the way that we relate to money. Bob's book is fantastic. Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. At the open of the show, I asked you to give me two words that describe your relationship with money, and Gwen wrote, evolving and mostly blessed. She said, when my husband and I recognized that our money is not really ours, but God's, our perspective and purpose changed in a way that we just want to glorify God in the way we steward his resources. We don't always succeed, but we're striving to do his will, and it gives us such a sense of freedom that we did not have in our early years of marriage. I would echo that, Gwen, and say the same is true for us. Amen, amen. I think when we understand we're stewards, not owners, it makes everything feel different, seem different. You know, one of your strategy that I love so much, we've talked about it in the past shows, but I still want you both to unpack it. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, enjoy it all. Linda, we'll start with you. Talk about this. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, enjoy it all.
Yeah, so this came from a John Wesley quote that we just really loved. And the point of it all is to use what you have for the glory of God and to do the most with it, much like the parable of the talents. And so I think his quote talks about the first three, which is earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And we kind of added enjoy it all, because there's a level of finding delight in the things that you put your hand to that I think is not talked about often enough. And, you know, we live in this culture right now where it's like, you just got to grind away and hustle and, you know, and there can be such a level of, you have to do this on your own, when the Lord actually calls us to delight in the things that he has for us to do. So that's really kind of where that whole thing came out of. And I think Bob can add a little more color to that.
Yeah. I would just say that it was just a quote that deeply impacted us. And we, you know, have been trying to live our lives according to that as long as we could. And the motivation behind it, I think, is so beautiful, because John Wesley, you know, writer and preacher, like, was trying to earn as much money as he could, in which I think a lot of people would think of preacher. That feels weird that a preacher is trying to earn as much money as he can. Can't you have enough or something? But it's like he understood that by increasing his income, like, he'd be able to give more and impact the kingdom of God more. And he didn't do it to increase his salary. In fact, he maintained a really low salary for almost all of his life. So it wasn't about that, but he just saw that he could have so much more impact in the kingdom. And that's really what it comes down to. It's about efficiency. It's like, how do we make the most of what God has entrusted to us? And I think it's by doing all those things.
I can't remember. I know, I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before. I just, forgive me, I don't remember your answer. But I'd love for you to talk about debt. Like, some financial experts say, only be debt-free, that's it. Others say, I have no problem with debt, as long as you manage it in an appreciating way, versus, you know, investments, property, et cetera. What say you?
Yeah, my thoughts on debt are, I mean, I don't love it, but there's different types of debt. And I think there's an important distinction there. You know, so just for context, we're 100% debt-free, and my goal is to always stay that way, you know. But at the same time, when you're using debt strategically, you know, as maybe a real estate investor or something, to increase your income and as leverage, and you in doing that wisely, I personally don't have an issue with that. And I think that there, you know, can be wisdom in that. Now, on the other hand, if you are someone who has an addiction to
Nordstrom
or Lowe's or whatever, and it's like, and you're spending thousands of dollars extra each month that you don't have to buy things that are depreciating in value, it's just like, that's just not a wise financial move, you know? So it's like, what's the purpose of the debt?
Right. Well, yeah. And we also don't believe in pinching pennies to, you know, not have your health taken care of. Right.
Well, yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much where we've landed on it. But at the end of the day, like, I believe, you know, God wants to see everybody debt free. I think that is his ultimate desire for his kids. And I think if we seek him, like, I think that he will provide a way, you know, for us to do that. And so that's been our goal. That's what we've been trying to help our students do, is move down that path. Let's be debt free, because there is a level of freedom that comes with that, that feels really, really nice, you know. Mm-hmm. But one last piece I want to add to this real quick, though, is I have seen, and I personally encountered this, where there was a point in my life where becoming debt free became an idol. And while I think it's an important thing to go after a good financial goal, after ultimately any financial goal, you know, even if it's a godly, biblically based one, has the opportunity to become an idol in our life. And I think that's really important to just to watch ourselves and make sure that our heart is always in the right posture with whatever financial goal we're chasing.
And Bob, before I go to Linda, you know, you told the story, I think, the first time you were on the show, but you got to tell it again, because I've seen that as well, where there's almost a self-righteousness idolatry in, I am the prize. In fact, Angela, my producer, said, you know, some people, in wanting to try to do it right, are striving to the point that they may miss out on God's invitation to generosity, because it's like, that's a hindrance to my goal. And you were out praying, walking, asking God, because you wanted to get your house paid off in something like 3 years, like, you were on a roll and you wanted to get it paid off. And tell us what God said to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that
Linda's
that
like, was yeah, exactly tell him.
Well, yeah. So that was the thing. It had become an idol to me. And so I'm going to God saying, hey, can you help me get this house paid off in 3 years? Because I got a plan. And then when he asks me at that point, You know, one of the clearest things I ever heard him speaking to my heart, if you really want to see me move on your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. So I was 31 at the time. So that meant going from probably about 11% of our income, jumping up to giving 31%. And what that required of me is to lay down on the altar this desire to pay off our house, because now we're basically giving all of our money away. And so we weren't going to be able to keep putting money, extra money towards the mortgage. And I remember, like, we had a decision point at that point to make. Like, we had to decide, are we going to keep chasing this goal, or are we going to chase God? And in that, I'm thankful that he gave us, that we did, and don't always, but that time we did obey him. We did follow him in that. And in doing so, just like he so often does, like, we also got the thing. It was Matthew 6:33. We also got the thing. We chased him, and then we got the thing we were after. And we ended up paying that house off in less than a year after following him in that. And so it's just another example of, yeah.
Sorry, Bob. I was going to say, when you were out prayer walking and he asked for you to give away your age, 30, you know, so you had to jump 20%, you said, that means I'm moving from 3-year payoff to a 10-year payoff of this mortgage. It's going to take me 10 years. And I loved that part of the story so much, because isn't that, you know, God invites us to do something and we still go back in our logical mind as if, without you, God, it's going to take me 10 years. So we think when God invites us to do something, we still go into our own understanding and do the math on our own. Mm-hmm. And I get it, but it's amazing to me that he's like, I've got something different in mind. And you still paid it off in less than a year. That is just amazing. Yeah.
I know. Wow. And God is just so good. And I think he just loves that. Like, when we just obey, we just follow him when it makes no sense. And that was just exactly what that was.
So good. Linda, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going directly to you. And we'll keep this conversation going. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Love your thoughts, Linda, about debt. I'm assuming you're in the same page exactly with him. But any advice maybe to that person who's like, well, I mean, someone just texted in and said, what about vehicles? I could never pay cash for a vehicle. So what advice maybe you would have for someone who has debt? What's the best first steps to start paying that stuff off? Talking to Bob and Linda Lodick today. Their book is Simple Money, Rich Life: Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And Linda, I also want to circle back after the break to what you said about, we don't want a penny pinch when it comes to taking care of our health. I don't know. I want to hear more about what you have to say there. Again, great conversation with Bob and Linda. They join us every month to talk about our relationship with money. Super important conversation. We'll be back in a minute.
Do you want to transform your life? Then read the Bible. Hi, I'm Angela, host of Reading the Bible Together. And maybe you're thinking, that's great, but where do I start? We have great study guides and podcasts on a bunch of different studies from Reading the Bible Together. You can find all the information, get the free study guide, listen to the free podcast, find it all at myfaithradio.com. Just look for Reading the Bible Together resource page.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've got our friends Bob and Linda Lodick on the show. They've got a podcast, actually, and a blog. And Bob's book is titled Simple Money, Rich Life: Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. To me, my hubby read this, I think, in one sitting on a flight, or in two sittings, flight back and out, and loved it so much. It's such a biblical, balanced view. And they have this idea that they got from John Wesley about earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and enjoy your life. And so they're not penny pinchers to the point where you can't enjoy your life, but it's just a healthy stewardship of what God has entrusted. And Linda, you know, Bob was talking about how important it is, and you know, you guys' perspective to be debt-free. And sometimes you strategically can carry debt when it's for an investment purpose that, you know, entrepreneurs will do that a lot. And in due time, it does bring in income. But as a lifestyle, debt is not a good thing. So what do you say to the friend listening today who's like, I'm not out lavishly spending, but I couldn't pay cash for a vehicle? What's a way to start picking away at debt?
Sure. I mean, the first thing I think is to believe that it's actually possible. We never thought that that was possible either. And then we paid one of our cars off and we were like, this is amazing. You know, it kind of, it honestly just broke a cycle that had been going on in our family for a long time. So believing that it's possible, but also, of course, there are so many practical things you can do, and we can definitely help with that. But setting a budget and being intentional with how you're spending and knowing where your money is going will help you find money that you don't know that you have. So, you know, there's lots of practical things like that, but I think just first knowing that it's possible.
Yeah. And one thing I'd add to that too is, once we paid off that car, we just kept making a car payment to ourselves. And so whatever, it's $250 a month or something, because this is 15 years ago. And so we kept making that car payment to our savings account. And then we decided we're not going to have a car payment again. We're going to buy the next one with cash. Mm-hmm. And so that required some discipline. That required driving a little bit of an older car, a little bit longer. But we bought the next car with cash. We bought a $20,000 car with cash. And then we just have kept doing that ever since. And so breaking out of that cycle, that was a limiting belief of a scarcity mindset that I had growing up. And once we broke out of that, it's just such a powerful thing. It can move you forward financially. And with God, it is possible.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I feel like your ministry, your book, your podcast, you're constantly lifting our chins, trying to break out of mindsets that you've had and held fast to for so long, because God can do the impossible if you trust him. So, Linda, we just got a couple minutes left, but I want you to go back to what you'd said. God doesn't want us to penny pinch when it comes to caring for our health. I want to know what you meant there.
Sure. We have found ourselves in medical debt within the last 5 years, and it was important that we needed to call the ambulance when it was time to call the ambulance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Instead of price checking.
Right. There was no reason to price check. There was no reason for Bob to, you know, be the driver when it was clear that we needed more medical attention than that. And so I just, you know, as with everything, and even with the car, it's like, I just want to make sure that we are communicating that it's okay if you find yourself in a position that you don't necessarily want to be in. That's where the faith component comes in, and that we can trust God that even though I wish I wasn't here, here I am, and then ask him for wisdom on what to do next and breakthrough and a miracle, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Circling back to, you know, crying out to God and then obeying him, even if it seems unrelated to the very issue at hand. Just got a couple minutes left, Bob, and Karen texts in and wants to know, she says, any advice for those who own businesses, how to get on a budget when it's primarily seasonal work?
Long story short, it's a challenging problem to solve. We might actually have a chapter in this in our book.
Yeah, Susie, we do.
I think we do, about budgeting with an irregular income, because this is a challenging thing to solve, but I'm going to try to break it down as quickly as possible. But the gist of what you want to do, because it's so much easier to budget off of a consistent income, what we want to do is mimic having a paycheck. Okay. And so what we need to do is work backwards and do the math to try to figure out what is the average that we actually bring in, and then try to budget off of that. And then do that in a conservative way. And so normally what this looks like is you multiply out your income for the last 12 months or whatever, and then you multiply that by 0.8. So we have a conservative number that we're budgeting off of. And in doing that, then now we're living off of that conservative amount. And then any extra that we earn in a given month over that amount goes into a buffer checking account or savings account. And this might sound a little complicated. It's actually not that complicated. But the point is, we take that extra, put it in a buffer account, and then when we have a month where we're lower, we draw from that buffer account. And so it's a little bit of math, a little bit of figuring some things out, but it's the best way that I know to try to handle and navigate those unpredictable months.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you lay that out in the book, so that's great.
Yep.
Just about a minute and a half left, and either one or both, depending on if we have the time, but I'll go with you, Linda. What do you know about God now that you didn't know as well 5, 10 years ago?
I feel like he's given me a beautiful understanding of how much he loves me. And that is something that I just hold so dear.
That's precious.
And that I can't imagine how far that's going to take me, just relying on his love for me.
I love that. How about you, Bob?
Oh, you know what? A he child left. Walked in and he had to leave for just a minute.
This is a home office here.
So much. Yeah. Well, since we have just made me take the next 30, 40 seconds, will you pray for the person who's stressed about money right now?
Yes, Lord, we just cast our cares upon you because we know that you care for us and we are so grateful for that. I pray that anyone listening that needs an extra reminder of how good you are, you would give that to them in several different ways through your word, through other people, and hopefully through today in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Amen. Lord. Linda, we appreciate you. Please give Bob a hug for us as well. And we look forward to our conversation next month. And friends, if you want to be thinking ahead, go ahead and email me if you want, Susie@myfaithradio.com, or text in your questions and I'll store them up for the next time that we have Bob and Linda on the show. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your time today, Linda. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bob and Linda Loddick are my guests today. Check out their book, Simple Money, Rich Life, or you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. But I think the big takeaway, friends, call out to God, seek him, listen for his voice, and then do the next thing he says. Obey him, even if it seems unrelated to your current financial struggle. And then change your mind about what God might be able to do. Ask him to show you your core beliefs that are wrong beliefs and ask him to help you see things from his perspective. There's a new day coming, friends, and you can steward with faith. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.